Blessed to be back tonight. Appreciate the good songs and everything the Lord did for us through the day.
Amen.
I'm reading the two verses in Zechariah chapter 3. You have a Bible handy? I believe everything, of course, has been done tonight, but I thought about the young people sang the song a while ago. You know, this grace was given us in Christ before the world was.
Right.
And the Bible talks about the blood of His cross.
Yeah.
Have made peace through the blood of His cross, Colossians 1:20. So His cross was a personal cross.
That's right.
In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and begin at verse 7, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. He said, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us for the holy calling,
amen,
not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Right,
but is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ our Savior, who hath abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Right.
So the gospel is a proclamation of what Christ has done for sinners like us who couldn't save themselves.
Right.
The gospel really is not an offer.
Yeah.
It's a proclamation.
Right.
We're preaching about what God has accomplished,
amen,
in Christ,
amen,
for sinners who couldn't save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you forget everything else, don't forget that Christ offered himself to God,
yep,
without spot through the eternal spirit first.
That's right.
In other words, he died to satisfy the sovereign God first,
right,
and then save sinners second.
Amen.
In other words, God would not or could not save a sinner at the expense of his character.
Right.
That's why Christ had to be born of the law, live under the law, and keep the law,
yep,
and die cursed under the law.
That's right.
In order to deliver us from the curse of the law.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God couldn't repeal his law and get ashamed he was holy.
Right.
So somebody must keep the law, and nobody could keep it but God.
Amen.
So God come down in Christ and born of the law and kept the law.
Amen.
And Galatians 3:13 said he redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Right.
This is how he done it, being made a curse for us.
Yep.
But it's written, cursed is everyone hanging on the tree. So Christ went to the cross and was cursed of God under the law. He bore the curse of the law.
Right.
Now he can redeem us from the curse of the law. And now, if a lot of Christians had that straight, we're not under law but under grace.
Yeah.
We're not part of the way under the law.
Right.
We've been set free from the bondage of the law.
Yeah.
Now that don't mean that God done away with his law. But in salvation, God lifts us above the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, not to everyone, but to everyone that believes.
Right. Amen.
So when you become a believer in Christ, the law can't bother you then.
Right.
See, the law can't take a pardoned person back to court.
Amen.
Now, he can take a fellow that's been probated. If you're on probation, he can take you back when you break the probation. But if you've been pardoned, that means the law is satisfied.
Yeah,
so we've been pardoned.
Yes, sir.
In other words, the charge has been dropped.
Yeah, amen.
As far as God's concerned, there's never been anything wrong with us.
Yep. Amen.
Not as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
But as far as God's concerned, because of what Christ did for us, there's not anything wrong with us because God dropped the charge against us.
Amen.
Now, that's a blessing. When I found that out, it's almost like getting saved over again. Somebody said, well, how saved are you? I said, I'm as saved as you get, so you'll be here.
Yeah.
You can't get any more saved than we are if we're saved now while we're here. Now, we're going to get more saved when he finishes up on us, but right now, we're saved as we can get.
Amen.
And it'd be a blessing if all of us really believe that.
Yes, sir.
And acted upon that.
Amen.
That we're fully saved. A fellow said to me, he said, did you ever get discouraged? I said, if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Right.
Because all a discouraged Christian's good for is to discourage another Christian. Did you ever notice you can be happy in the Lord, saying Amazing Grace, and go up to some Christian that's all down and out, and he'll tell you how bad everything is. The first thing you know, your head's hanging down too.
That's right.
That's what the Bible said. I'm going to let you sit down a minute. But see, Hebrews is it 10:24-5, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly itself together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another.
Amen.
And so much the more you see that they're approaching. So the main reason for the assembly is not only to worship the Lord, but to exhort one another.
Right.
And so much the more as you see that they're approaching. Because as the day of Christ approaches, more people are going to be despondent and down and out, and filled with anxiety and fear. So you ought to tell folks, as the pastor said, quit worrying. One fellow said, worry is like a rocking chair. Give you something to do, but it won't get you nowhere. So that's the truth. I'm reading in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. You may be seated. I'm trying to preach a few minutes now on Bible garments.
Amen.
Bible garments. Thank God, for God requires righteousness and we can't produce it.
Right.
So Christ produced it for us.
Amen.
Now we're made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Right.
But right now, sinners are clothed with filthy garments.
Right.
Like the Bible talked about the filthy garment here, you know. Well, we're all as an unclean thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. That's Isaiah 64 and verse 6. In our depraved condition. People say, what does depravity mean? It means that we fell so far down in Adam that we cannot lift ourselves back up again.
That's right.
You might do better than you're doing, but you can't lift yourself all the way up.
Right.
So somebody else must lift you up, and I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ come down here to lift us up, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, the Bible said over in the book of Job 15 that even the heavens are unclean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water? So that's what people do today. That's why the jails are filled. Penitentiaries are filled. Homes are broken. Children are cast out now. Nobody cares much. Streets are full of homeless people. Because men in their depraved condition drinks iniquity like water.
Right.
We're just filthy without the Lord. And so I'm glad that the Lord gives us a new garment, aren't you?
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord looked down from heaven and saw and looked on the children of men and saw that there was none good. There was none that understood. The natural man don't understand spiritual things.
That's right.
And he does not understand how that he needs to get saved and why he needs to get saved. His mind's blinded. In depraved, a man's depraved condition, his mind's blinded.
Right.
His ears are dull of hearing. His throat's an open sepulcher. With his tongue he uses deceit. The poison of asp under his lips. His hands swift to shed blood. And his feet run to mischief. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Right.
That sounds to me like he's in pretty bad shape.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, well, don't you believe and get saved? He wants to. You know, the problem is they don't want to. They don't want to till God reproves them.
Right.
See, that's why the Bible tells the preacher, Paul challenged, reprove and rebuke and exhort.
Right.
Did you know there's not much reproving and rebuking preaching today?
Right.
Most preachers are seemingly so afraid of their position or their power or their parsonage or their pocketbook that they won't hardly mention sin, and if they do, they try to take the sting out of it. But you can't say sin without the hiss of the serpent.
Right.
And we're just ruining people down in the dungeon of sin unless we've been delivered by the power of God.
Amen.
Salvation means deliverance.
Yes, sir.
So God delivers you from living in sin.
Right.
You might still sin, and we do still sin, but we don't live in sin.
Right.
As far as I know, And I stand to be corrected. As far as I know, God only called saints sinners one time in the New Testament. And the reason he did that is because they were living like sinners. That's in James chapter 4.
Right.
James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and God draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts and double minded. Get back up there in verse 4. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Right.
Knowing not the friendship of this world, the enmity with God. In other words, they was too friendly with the world.
Right.
They was committing spiritual adultery.
Yep.
And they were living like sinners.
Right.
Oh me and amen.
Yes.
Somebody said, what's the matter with the church? I just quoted to you what's the matter with the church. We're too close to the world.
Yep.
We're living on too friendly terms with the world.
Right.
Now, let me say this quickly, and I don't take it wrong, but Jesus goes through the tribulation time in Luke chapter 21, and he gets down to verse 34, and he turns to his apostles, and he said, take heed, therefore, to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with serving in drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares.
Right.
For it's a snare shall come upon all them that dwell upon the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now that sounds to me like a warning to the apostles, and if they're the foundation of the church, and they are, there must be a picture of the church,
right,
type of the church. So he said, you be careful or your hearts will be overfull or overcharged with serving in drunkenness, not alcohol drunkenness, drunk on things.
Right.
Intoxicated on things. Our problem today is that we're over full of legitimate things.
Right.
We don't have time to pray, no time to read the scripture, no time to meditate. Everybody's in a hurry. They're not on Facebook, they're on a cell phone.
Yep.
Not on a cell phone, not on a computer.
Yep.
Not on that, they're on the phone talking to somebody else.
Yep.
And worried about somebody else's business. Somebody said, well, do you know anything about Facebook? I said, I don't know. All I know about Facebook is that it's pretty bad when people take up with other people's wives and husbands.
Right.
Yeah. Smile right there.
That's right.
Now, you say, well, it can be used for good. I said, well, I agree with that. Everything can be used for good. The problem is, most of the time, it's not used for good. And that's really sad, ain't it? But, you know, Jeremiah said, man doesn't even know. It's not in man to correct himself.
Right.
You know, may God help us to see. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. Leper can't change his spot. There must be a miracle worked in our lives.
Amen.
Salvation is a miracle of grace.
That's right.
Amen. Now, I remember when they started saying, it's been about 60 years now. They'd ask the sinner, do you know how to be saved? I said, well, if he did, he couldn't save himself. If he knew all about the Bible, knew exactly what to do, he couldn't do it.
That's right.
Salvation's a miracle of grace.
Amen.
The revelation, your heart of who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ the Lord.
Right.
If you find that out, God has to make that known to you in your heart.
That's right.
That he's Lord. And then let me talk about cast away garments. Now Bartimaeus is a good example here in Mark chapter 10. Jesus went out of Jericho. Bartimaeus was by the highway side begging, a blind man. And he began to cry when he heard the Lord coming near close. He began to cry out, oh, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Of course, the crowd there cried out, don't cry so loud. They told him, hold his peace. There's always a crowd against you getting your spiritual eyesight.
That's right.
The devil's going to use people to hinder you from getting saved. But he cried the more, have mercy upon me. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God withholding from you what you deserve.
Right.
Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve.
Amen.
So we obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need.
Right.
So he just cried out the more, the more. And Jesus stood still and he commanded to be called. And they said, be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. And blind Bartimaeus got up and cast aside his garment. I think that's a picture of repentance.
Yes, sir.
Cast aside his garment and come. Jesus said, what do you want to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, your faith is working now and you just received your sight. And he said, go thy way. Instead of Bartimaeus going his way, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
You cannot follow him if you can't see.
Right.
Got to be able to see how to follow him.
Right.
You know, the Bible's filled in the New Testament, the Old Testament alike, with the doctrine of repentance. One fellow told me, he said, if you preach repentance, you're preaching works for salvation. I said, repentance is acknowledging you can do no works.
Right.
Repentance is not necessarily going in front of a Baptist church.
Right.
Repentance is you taking sides with God against yourself. Right. Repentance is a gift.
Yes, sir.
Salvation's a gift.
Yes, sir.
Faith is a gift. For by grace we're saved through faith, not ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. God commands all men everywhere to repent now. And Paul said in Acts 20:21, I've kept back nothing that's proper to you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God. Repentance is not toward Christ, repentance is toward God. And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's God that we've offended his law. So repentance, it's a correction of attitude toward God.
Right.
It's a change of attitude toward God. Actions are controlled by attitudes.
Yep.
If your attitude's right, your actions will be right.
Yep.
So it's attitude change toward God. Repentance is a heart work.
Right.
Godly sorrow worketh repentance of salvation, not to be repented of.
Mm-hmm.
So God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's involved in salvation. Both are a gift. Both are a gift. Repentance and faith are the gift of God.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own. Now, if you're saved, you can repent of what you're doing. But salvation repentance is not repenting of what you're doing. It's repenting of what you are.
That's right. Amen.
So now, if you get saved, you repent of what you do.
Yep.
If we confess our sins... See, all you are before you get saved is sin. But after you get saved, then you're not a sinner anymore, and you're told not to sin.
Right.
You say, Brother Mitchell, you mean you're preaching perfection? That's right, I'm preaching perfection. The fellow said, well, you can't live perfect, can you? I said, no, but I'm supposed to preach it.
Yeah.
God said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, these things are in you that you sin not.
Right.
That means don't sin.
Right.
It's never right to sin.
Right.
Now, since we can't keep from it, he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Right.
They don't have an advocate, they have a propitiation.
Yeah.
Christians have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is a law term.
That's right.
So if you get a case in court down here at the courthouse, you better get your pretty good advocate.
Right.
You better get somebody that knows the law.
Right. Amen.
If you can get somebody that knows the law, you might be in pretty good shape. But if you get someone that knows the law and the judge both, you're just about sure to be in good shape. If you get somebody that knows the law and kept the law and he's the judge's son, he'll get you off. See, we have an advocate. See, Christ knows the law, kept the law. He's the son of the judge. He's an advocate before the judge. That's why God don't kick us out. The advocate can talk for you in court before you get there.
Amen.
He can talk to that judge and tell him the reason why you're not there yet. That's why God continues to have mercy upon us before we repent.
Mm-hmm.
As Christians, our advocate, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of satisfaction for our sins, not for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
If you ever get over that, you might say praise God a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm still saved now, not because I've been doing right. I believe we ought to do more right than we do.
Sure,
I preach against every sin I can think of, and if you know of one I don't preach against, tell me and I'll preach against it.
Right.
But we got to have somebody perfect. We can't produce it.
Right.
Christ produced it for us, and he talks to the Father for us, and he's been getting me off all these years.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
One fellow told me, he said, I think I'll live right to get to heaven. I said, I bet you don't even know anybody living right enough to get to heaven. If you live right to get to heaven, you've got to produce perfection. You can't do it.
Right.
Christ did it for you. That's why you've got to have his righteousness.
Amen.
Your righteousness don't count. His righteousness is what we need. And we've been clothed in his righteousness. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Christ said in Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take his cross, and follow me.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of verses in the New Testament about salvation. A lot of people just quote one here and one there. When a person gets saved, he believes all the verses about salvation. He may not know them all, but if you preach it to him, he'll believe it.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Yes. I didn't know what repentance was. I didn't know what faith was. I didn't know what being made a new creature was. I didn't understand nothing about the Bible when I got saved. Right. I just understood two things. I'm a terrible sinner. They're talking about sin and talking about a curse and talking about wrath. And I'm all of that and I'm under that. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how to get saved. I just prayed guilt and cried out for mercy.
Yeah.
And God delights in showing mercy, so it will help me from what I deserve and give me what I don't deserve. And the first thing you know, I had peace with God.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. They said, you feel like you're saved. I didn't know how you're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
I felt clean.
Yeah.
I felt, first time in my life, I had peace with God.
Yeah.
I turned around and loved everybody. I didn't love them before that. I didn't love nobody much before that. But when I was born of love and love of God shed in my heart, I brought my heart with the Holy Ghost which has given us, then I loved them, and I know now that I love the Father when I love the children of God.
Amen.
Do those things that's pleasing in His sight. He that loveth knoweth God. Loveth. Knoweth God and is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Right.
Praise God. I like it, don't you?
Amen.
And I'm glad when you come to God, you come in repentance and faith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And one way you know that you repented and believed, you're still repentant and still believing.
That's right.
See, that's right. I've been repenting ever since I repented.
That's right.
And I've been believing ever since I believed.
Amen.
Not a one-time deal back yonder, almost 61 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Not a one-time. The reason I know my repentance is real back there, I've been repenting ever since I repented.
Amen.
The reason I know my faith is real, I've been believing ever since I believed. Now, sometimes I got weak. Sometimes I wasn't sure. I've seen the time, and I've heard people say, it used to say it over in the mountains, you just get out of the service what you put in the service. Well, that's not right. Because I've been to church since I've been saved, when I was too weak to put anything in.
Yep.
I could just barely get in on the back seat. I didn't have any strength. I didn't know how it was. I didn't have no assurance. First thing you know, somebody got singing in the Spirit. Somebody got the praying in the Spirit. Somebody got the testifying in the Spirit. Somebody got the preaching in the Spirit. First thing you know, I felt saved again.
Amen.
See, you're not saved by feeling. You're saved by grace through faith. But feeling is evidence. Feeling is not salvation, but you can't be saved and not feel it.
Right.
Now, they started saying, way back yonder, that there's no feeling in salvation. Preachers used to say that. And I told one fellow, I said, you ought to say as far as you know there's not.
Yeah.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's as the wind that blows where it listeth. Now you're feeling the wind.
Yep.
That's not the cause, that's evidence it's blowing. The wind blows where it listeth. But you can feel the Spirit if you're born of the Spirit. That's what it's actually saying.
Right.
So if you're saved, you can feel the Spirit of God and evidence that God's did something in your heart and life.
Amen.
That's right. Feeling is not the cause. Feeling is evidence. You can feel condemnation.
Yep.
Now you can't feel justification, but you can feel regeneration.
Right.
Justification is what God does in heaven. Regeneration is what God does in your heart. Let you know He's done something for you in heaven.
Yep.
Justification is a legal term. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God declares us right in His presence in heaven.
Right.
But God regenerates your spirit to let you know that something's happened for you in heaven.
Amen.
The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God.
Right.
If any man has no spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Yep.
I like it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me talk a minute about parted garments. The Messianic Psalm in Psalm 22:18. It's prophecy that they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Then you can read Matthew 27:35. It's a fulfillment of that. They parted his garment and cast lots, gambled, for his vesture. And it was a seamless woven robe from the top throughout. What he had on was. And I think that denotes unbroken unity. In other words, there's not three gods. There's just one God, three manifestations.
Right.
And you have to watch that because the Godhead is a mystery.
Sure.
There's some mystery in the Bible, you know. The church is a mystery. Paul said, I'll show you a mystery about the resurrection. But the resurrection, the Old Testament saints believe the resurrection. But they didn't know anything about the mystery part of it. There's a mystery part of the first resurrection. See, Martha believed in a general resurrection, John chapter 11. Said, I know Lazarus raised again at the last day in resurrection. But Paul come along and he got the mystery of the church and the mystery of the resurrection. If you want to get about the rapture of the church, you got to get that from Paul.
Right.
He's the one who wrote about that. And he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Church. That's church epistle.
Right.
But over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, is it 1 Timothy 3:16? Without controversy, great the mystery of godliness. Great the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Judged by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, being in the world, received of the glory. God was.
Right.
So Christ could truthfully say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
I and my Father are one.
Yep.
Of course, sometimes you read the verses, it looks like they're two. Because God is a spirit.
Right.
You can't see a spirit. They see a spirit.
Right.
But Christ is the manifestation of God
right.
in the body.
Amen.
He's the God-man.
Right.
So much man, sometimes you wouldn't think he is God, but so much God, sometimes you wouldn't think he's man.
Yep.
He was both. He was the God-man.
That's right.
So much man, he could die at the cross like a common criminal. So much God, he could resurrect the third day.
Amen.
He could lay his life down and he could take it up again. He said in John chapter 10, no man takes my life from me. In other words, this is all figured out before the foundation of the world. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son. And it was all planned out before the world ever started. That Christ come down here and die. Praise God, if I was about 30 years younger, I'd take me a running spell. Because you know what? Christ had me in mind all the way back yonder. He had me in mind on the cross. He had me in mind when he went back to heaven. And when he comes back, he's got me in mind. Praise God. I like it, don't you? Glory to God. He said, I'm laying my life down. I'm taking it up again. This commandment I received of my Father for the foundation of the world in the covenant, the Godhead made a covenant. Read it in Hebrews 13:20. It is a blood covenant. It's been blood all the way.
That's right.
It's blood now.
That's right.
It's blood for the foundation of the world, everlasting covenant.
That's right.
And it's an agreement. Christ sealed that covenant with his own blood before the world ever started. You don't get through four chapters in the New Testament till it's blood.
That's right.
When animals are shed to clothe Adam and Eve, it's blood.
That's right.
When Abel offered a sacrifice to God, it is blood.
That's right.
In Exodus chapter 12 through 14, it's blood.
That's
animal's
right.
blood. Up on the cross, he said, it's a New Testament, my blood.
That's right.
Did you know Christ only shed blood two times while he was here in the world? And he worked in a carpenter shop. Didn't even stick a splinter in his finger.
Amen.
When he was 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the law to seal the old covenant.
Yep.
The last week that he lived, the Passover week, he shed his blood at the cross to seal the New Testament with his own blood.
Amen.
And he went back to heaven and took his blood with him and sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Amen.
So if you get to God, you come through Christ. If you get to Christ, you come through the blood. If
Amen.
You come through the blood, you get washed.
Amen.
That's a New Testament term, washed.
Yes, sir.
That's Revelation 1. 5. Old Testament saints were not washed in the blood.
Right.
They're justified by faith and a promise. Animal's blood could never take away sin nor make the coming of God too perfect. In other words, their sin was postponed.
Right.
These all died in the faith, not even received the promise. Hebrews 11, 13. They believed it. They believed it was coming.
Amen.
They believed the promise.
Yes, sir.
They're justified. See, that's the difference. You have to watch that back the other side of the cross. Oh, that's law of doctrine.
Yeah.
Now, you can spiritualize any of that. But that's not church doctrine back the other side of the cross. New Testament starts in Matthew 27.
Right.
Because without the death of the testator, the testament's not in force. I'm letting that soak in.
That's right.
Because about everybody's mixed up with doctrine. It's mixed up the other side of the cross. Christ was born of the law, lived the law, and died of the law.
Amen.
The law ended when Christ died.
Amen.
Grace dispensation started when Christ died. I believe that's right.
Yes, sir.
By the time I can go through the scriptures and tell you and show you that right there is where the New Testament began. Now, I'm not against you preaching any part of the Bible with a spiritual application, but not a doctrinal application. You have to study the Word of God, divide the Word of truth, to get it right doctrinally.
Right.
You can't get it right doctrinally. Now, you can get it right spiritually, preach a spiritual application on about any of them parables, but them's Jewish parables. They're Jewish parables. You ever have anybody ask you about the prodigal? I'm going to get to him in a minute. He got a garment when he come home.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Got the best robe.
Amen.
He was a son when he was at home before. Then he got to be a lost son. Then he got to be a robe son. Somebody said, well, was he saved before he left home? If that's true, he lost his salvation because he got saved when he come back home. You know what? He was a lost sheep.
Right.
Did you know you and me were never lost sheep? Mm-hmm. Read it in Ephesians 2. We were aliens, foreigners, and strangers to the covenants. We had no covenant.
Right.
We're Gentile dogs.
Right.
The Israelites, those among the Israelites, were lost sheep.
Right.
See, all the Calvinists gets mixed up there in the book of John, where Christ said, I give my life for the sheep. Mm-hmm. And they say that he didn't die for nobody but the sheep. Well, all they need to do is read again. Because Christ did die for the sheep. But Christ died for the church.
Yes, he did.
He loved the church and gave himself for the church is made up of both Jew and Gentile.
Right.
Christ died for sinners.
Sure, amen.
And Christ died for all men.
Amen.
That don't mean everybody be saved, but that means the price for sin has been paid and God satisfied what Christ paid.
Amen.
Now, we can preach the gospel to anybody, anywhere, at any time, and tell them everything's been accomplished that needs to be accomplished. Salvation's accomplished and available.
Amen.
If you don't get saved, it's your fault.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, what about them heathens in the dark country? I said, if they'll obey the life they do have,
yep. Amen.
God will send them a preacher.
I believe that. Yes, sir.
They got a lot of conscience. Then read it in Psalm 19. The elements never silence their voice. Every time the sun comes up and the moon comes up, their voice declares there's a God somewhere out there. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They become vain of their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's why the Bible said a fool said in his heart, there's no God. Did you know we have a lot of them folks in America that's religious atheists?
Right.
They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in the God of their imagination.
Right. Amen.
Anybody that goes along with sodomy and same-sex marriage and transgender stuff, it's an infidel.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, here in America, we got a right. No, you don't have a right to be a sodomite pervert. Got a liberty as an American to be one if you want to, but you don't have a right.
Right.
Amen.
See,
I said back in 1964, and I repeat it often, we'll never see the end of the Civil Rights Act that Johnson signed till we get to the judgment of God. It's been perverted so by perverts.
Yes, sir.
Political and religious perverts.
Right. Amen.
So much that I'm not mad. That's just the way I preach. Praise God.
Preach.
So, it's unbroken unity. This robe that's woven and without seam. The first Adam was clothed by God. The last Adam was unclothed by man. God clothed Adam and Eve with the same kind of glory. You know, they was naked and didn't know it. That's what the Bible said. But after they ate the tree that God said not to eat of, then they knew it. So, you know what that tells you? They had a conscience before they sinned, but it wasn't awakened. Mm-hmm. A conscience is the ability to know.
Yep.
Good from evil.
Amen.
So, this clothed with the kind of glory, and they didn't know they were naked. When they sinned, they knew they were naked. See, that's what happens to these little kids. When they become accountable, their conscience is awakened.
Right.
A conscience wouldn't save you.
Right.
But if it ever dies, you can't get saved. See, a lot of people have known better than what they're doing now, but their conscience is dead now.
Yep.
Now, back to make a big old statement. America as a nation's conscience is dead.
You're right, preacher.
Amen.
The conscience is dead. They don't know the difference in being straight and being a pervert.
Right.
They think everybody's the same.
Yep.
That tells you that their conscience, they don't have any ability to know.
Yep.
They have known better when they knew God to glorify them, not as God, but become vain their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Oh, they think they're the wisest people around, but yeah, they became fools.
Right.
Read it in Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
Thank God for a good conscience.
Amen.
You ought to guard your conscience.
Amen.
Keep your conscience clear.
Yes, sir.
We need a cleansed conscience.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me talk about this wedding garment I'm through. That's Matthew 22. The wedding feast prepared, you know, the parable that the supper's ready, wedding feast is ready. Jesus sends people out to get them to come, and they wouldn't come, and he sent them back to compel them to come and bid them to come. So they all come in there, and then the king come in. If that's a picture of Christ coming in, it must be because of the king. Nobody else didn't know that fellow didn't have a wedding garment on. And he said to this fellow, "Friend, how comest thou in hither with no wedding garment?" And he was speechless.
Right.
You know what Jesus told the servants that got him to come in without a wedding garment? He said, "You take him and cast him out."
Right.
In the outer darkness.
Amen.
You know what I'm afraid a lot of people are going to have to do? Cast their converts away.
Yeah.
They got him in the number with no garment. And you can't see them, and I can't see them, but the Lord can see them.
Yes,
he can. They still have no wedding garment. That's why you need to know firsthand that you have the righteousness of God imputed to you.
Amen.
And that's what God does. He gives us righteousness of Christ. God made him to be sin. To be sin. He didn't only bear our sin, he became our sin.
That's right.
To be sin first. Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What God does in salvation, he forgives you of all you are and sets all you are aside and takes the righteousness of Christ and clothes you and gives you a robe, a garment of righteousness that's acceptable to God.
Right.
Ain't that a blessing? And that's what that prodigal got. We call him the prodigal. See, he come home, he got the best robe, got some royal shoes, and a ring for his hand.
Amen.
Said, "This my son was lost, now he's found."
Amen.
He come home. Been away and hard been. That's what happened to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They went astray. That's what he was, the lost sheep. You mean there was lost sheep. Now we're a sheep.
Amen.
Now we wasn't goats. We wasn't goats. Goats, you can't make sheep out of goats.
Right.
People don't become goats till the judgment of the nation. That's a goat nations. Is that right? When a lost person comes, what he is a dead, alien, depraved, lost sinner. He may not know it yet, but that's what he is.
That's right.
And the preaching of the gospel will give him the ability to equal his responsibility.
Amen.
That opens his understanding. God shines the light in.
Right.
Lets him know what he is by nature, what it must be by grace. Lets him know that he's not saved. You find out you're not saved before you find out you are saved.
Right.
Some people can't get saved because they don't know they're not saved yet. When they find out they're not saved, then they'll want to get saved.
Yes, sir.
I think there's a lot of church members that don't know they're not saved.
Yeah.
They've been told that they're saved.
Yep.
By believing some passages of Scripture. Believing the Bible is not salvation.
Right.
Believing in Christ is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the living Word. When you get the living Word in your heart, the written Word becomes alive to you.
Amen.
You won't be changing Bibles next week or next year.
Because
the living Word, the words of God's alive to you. When it's preached and taught to you, it's alive and it stirs you up inside. Because you've got it on the inside. You're born again, not corrupted seed, but the incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abides forever.
Amen.
I like it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he gives us a robe. He declares us right.
Yes, sir.
He gives us the righteousness of Christ. That's the only kind of righteousness God accepts. It's the kind he gives.
Amen.
So he grants repentance unto the Gentiles. The only kind of repentance he accepts, the kind he gives. The only kind of faith he accepts, the kind he gives. The only kind of righteousness he accepts, the kind he gives. When it's all said and done, He's the author and finisher of our faith. And it's the gift of God.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Right.
So if you hear the word of God as the word of God, you hear the gospel as gospel. I'm saying this and I'm through. I went to revivals about all my life. I mean, 12 years old on up. Used to have protracted meeting. I was raised in North Alabama. They had summer revivals. Went 2 weeks. And sometimes, most times, day service and night service too. We didn't like the day service, but night service, we'd walk down the church 2 or 3 miles. And here, most of us stand outside, fool around. But I heard preaching up till I was 20 years old. I'm sure they preached the gospel. I don't know they did. But it wasn't gospel to me. It's just audible voice of the preacher. When I was 20 years old, I heard the gospel as gospel.
That's right.
First time.
Amen.
First time it becomes good news to me. See, that's what the word gospel means, good news.
Amen.
When it becomes good news to me, it's been good news ever since it became good news.
Amen.
Every time I hear it preached or taught or read it, it's always good news.
Yes, sir.
Before that, I had no use for it. I know he's part. But when it becomes good news, is it good news to you to know that Christ died in your place?
Amen.
Christ took your punishment. Christ took your blame. Christ suffered for your sins. Christ went to hell for you. Is that good news?
Amen.
That's good news to me.
Amen.
How many folks are saved? Let's see your hand. Lift it up high if you know you're saved. I appreciate that. Now, if you don't know it, you need to know it.
Yes.
Life's too short. Eternity's too long. You not know how it is. Let's bow our head for closing prayer. The brother come maybe with a verse of a song. The pastor will come. If you need to pray. And I know you need to pray. Most of us need to pray, I think. Don't you think most of us need to pray? Father, I pray that you'd honor the word of God. We've tried to set forth. Thank you for the privilege to be here at this place, Lord, today. Thank you for the services. I pray that you'd honor the word of God we've tried to preach. Seal up in our hearts. May it feed the sheep and convict sinners. Bless this pastor, Lord, your laborers here. Bless all the membership of this church. Bless their endeavors to get the word of God out to others. We'll be eternally grateful to you for all you do. Give us your traveling mercies now, we pray. In Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Let's all stand, please.